and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our special guest, Pastor Chris Reed. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue, and welcome, everyone. We're happy to have Chris Reed back with us.
We are.
Chris is the acting president of Morningstar Ministries and lead pastor of Morningstar Church and a voice of the prophets to the world. So glad to have you back, Chris.
Welcome back. We love you.
Powerful program yesterday.
Yes.
And wow, I have so much in my brain that's going, and I'm trying to hone in. I really wanted to kind of go back a little bit on yesterday and just kind of pick up on a few things we've been talking about. You talked about an earthquake. You talked about different things and the video we're sending out prophetic messages for the last days. And the one of them is a man in black. We haven't even talked about the others yet.
Right.
There's
That's
two
right.
other messages in here. But you talked about the things that you saw happening. Now, it was at Moravian Falls that you got this message. That's where I got the 31 things, or I gave the 31 things for the first time at Moravian Falls on New Year's Eve. And almost every one of them have come to pass, except just a couple, and they're going to come to pass, believe me. And one thing I learned working with Rick Joyner, do you learn stuff from Rick? I know.
Oh, I've learned so much.
I've learned so much. And one thing he taught me was when I have a prophetic message and I give it and I think it's supposed to happen, he says, unless God gives you the timing, you may not know the timing. Mm-hmm. And so like when I saw 9/11. What was it, honey? Was it
in 1999, you delivered the message in Moravian Falls going into 2000. And God gave those words to you actually in April of 99, and you held on to them till you delivered the word in Moravian Falls.
But it was how many years after I said it that it happened?
Well, we're going into 2000, so then 9/11 happened in 2001.
I don't know if you've had a message given to you and it didn't take place, but then it came to pass. And this one was so powerful. I remember Tammy Sue called me on the phone. We were in Florida at that time when 9/11 took place. And we were kind of sleeping in that day, I think. And she woke us up. And I had prophesied that.
Because
a year and a half before.
You had seen it. You saw
it. And I saw it.
You
the
saw
thing is,
that.
A lot of times I'll actually see things in a vision or whatever. And I saw all these people with it looked like it was snowing. It had the ashes all over them. And so Tammy Sue called up. She said, Dad, they're bombing New York. And I said, what? So I turned on the TV and I saw it. And my vision and dream came to me exactly as I saw it, with all those people running, with all that ash coming down on their head. But it was a year and a half before it came to pass. And so Rick told me, don't worry about the timing, because unless God gives you a timing, it's for the future, but you don't always know. Because I know this message you just gave us yesterday, and I hope everybody will get the tape so they can get the whole thing. When did you get that message about the man in black? How far back?
March 25th of 2022. So just
not too
recently.
Many months ago.
Yeah.
And it's really taking place, though, very fast.
Yeah.
And go over it a little bit more, because is it? Many people tuning in that didn't see yesterday.
Absolutely.
And then we'll get caught up with it. But the man in black, we still don't know who he is, right?
I believe it was an angel that in the dream, but it was like he was in black, and I think it was to reference the black horseman, which in the book Revelation pertains to famine.
Yeah.
And specifically wheat, measure of wheat for a penny, and barley, which right now in light of the Ukrainian-Russian war, you know, they are the Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, and I believe the United States gets about one-third of our wheat and bread from them. So,
man, that is so serious. Wheat is something you use on so many things besides bread. I mean, you use a lot of wheat. And you saw that and heard it. And what else did you hear?
Yeah, so in the dream, the man in black, it's basically he tears this $50 bill in three stages. And each time he tears the $50 bill, it sets off a chain of events that I learn about because random people walk up to me and give me newspaper headlines, and I remembered them vividly. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first one, you know, when I saw the $50 bill, it was almost like instantly I knew it represented the monetary value of the 50 United States. And so when he tore off one-third, and I've later since found out, the part where he tore off one-third is exactly tearing right at the spot where the Federal Reserve note is on that bill. And so anyways, in the dream, he tears the $50 bill in three stages. The first time that he tears it, it sets off a chain of events here. I'm pulling it up exactly so I have it as I had it. But when he tears it the first time, one-third is torn off. A man gives me the headlines, and it says the dollar drops 30% in value. Mideast oil, this was subtitled, Mideast oil strikes deal with China. Okay? Then I was given another
now,
headline.
Could that happen? The 30%? Percent, could that happen?
I mean, there could be things that would lead to a 30% drop in the value of the dollar. For instance, the U.S. dollar no longer is being backed by anything but trust. Trust in the U.S. government and the ineptness of our government leaders, you know, on world economic issues. Flight towards a more stable economic world leader. So looking to China for leadership is a shocking demonstration, or would be a shocking demonstration, of how much faith and trust America has lost just in the past year since Biden has come into office. So I think we do need to prepare for the devaluing of the dollar. And I will say this, I talk about this in the DVD set that you are releasing today. I talk about how the Lord showed me that China would emerge as the superpower for a period of time. I even, in the trance where I saw this happen, I saw and heard children using language, Chinese words in language, even in their gaming systems. In other words, that's how much China had gained an influence. And it almost seemed like there was this axis of evil, and I know we've heard that terminology before, but a new axis of evil of China, Iran, and Russia. And you literally see in them the unification of radical Islam and communism, a religious and political economic system that I believe will be the power behind the beast system. Islam is a religion that ultimately still employs, you know, beheading, which the book Revelation talks about. And if it ever unifies with communism embodied in Russia and China, which I think we're going to see, we are seeing with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the soon coming Chinese invasion of Taiwan, which I also believe will be unsuccessful. I think that we are seeing an axis of evil raised there, and it's ultimately going to be China leading for a period of time while America goes through this reform, this economic setback. China, I don't want that, by the way. I don't
China is an enemy of the United States, do you think?
Without a doubt. Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I think you can't polish it any better than how you just said it.
Do you think China will declare war on its neighbor?
I do. Whether it's an official declaration, I do think that because the weakness displayed by the current U.S. president and the liberal Congress, I think just like Russia felt empowered to invade Ukraine, I think China will do the same thing because they know they're not going to be kept in check by the United States government. So they're emboldened to attack their neighbors, China, Taiwan, Russia, Ukraine.
I wanted to introduce Chris Reed a little more. He's very well known now in prophetic circles. Rick Joyner appointed him the president of Morningstar Ministries and lead pastor of Morningstar Church. And it's amazing. There's the audience, the church audience that, there on the picture on the screen. And they are from Heritage USA. What do you call it? Heritage International?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heritage International. We still call it Heritage USA. That's what it used to be called.
Most people do, I think.
Yeah, they do.
It was Heritage USA for a long time. But it's Heritage International, which is bigger yet, right?
Amen.
And so he is your active president. What does that mean? Morningstar Ministry.
That basically means that I'm sitting in the front seat with Rick Joyner, and I'm driving, and he's in the passenger seat, and basically he's going to sit in the front seat with me until I...
It's sort of like driver's training.
Exactly. But he believed and felt that, you know, there's only some things you can learn once you're actually in the role.
So true. That is so good. Rick is so wise. And
he is.
I'm sure it's an honor for you. I know it's been an honor for us to have Rick in our lives. And
yes.
But if I was you, I would be afraid. Rick used to scare me. One day Rick said to me, he goes, Lori, am I scary? And I go, yes. But it's not that he was scary. It's just that he's so full of wisdom and he has such love for people and such a compassionate heart. And yet he's this man's man, you know. And at the beginning, when Jim and I were first married in 1998, that was our very first appearance together. The week before we got married was with Rick Joyner at one of his huge, he had like 4,000 or 5,000 people at his conference, remember, honey? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness, who is this man and who are these people? And they're amazing. They love Jesus. They love God. But Rick has given so much wisdom for us as well and for this ministry.
And even the music people were prophesying over us.
Oh, they were. It was, all of them
it
were.
It was amazing. And God was using that moment. Mm-hmm. And we weren't married yet.
A week before we got married.
Week before we got married. And so they were prophesying over us, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. was great. You know,
it's been exciting. We've got, we're really focusing on getting back to the foundation of Morningstar, not that it ever left, but, you know, as far as training and equipping people in the prophetic and in worship, you know,
exactly.
Some incredible worship leaders have come out of Morningstar.
Big time. Yes.
Some of the most well-known names. And so we feel, you know, one of our mandates is education. So in MSU, you know, I've been leading a school of the prophets and we have a school of worship and special forces training.
Oh, I love that one. Yes.
It's been really incredible. Rick has treated me like a son.
He really has.
I think he's probably misunderstood by a lot of people.
I agree. Yeah.
But I can tell you, I believe he's one of the most genuine,
gifted,
and sincere men of God on the earth today.
And he never
even hesitated. The first weeks I was out of prison, he had me at Morningstar and then put me in the pulpit. I preached my first sermon there out of after prison, which was quite an event for me. It was scary, and I thought people would not accept me at all. But Rick Joyner is a restorer.
Yes,
and he's restored me in different ways. Sure. You know, just that when I came out of the denomination that I left, and you know, restoration is multifaceted.
It sure is,
and we all need it at some time or another. And it's a sign of spiritual maturity.
It is.
If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness, considering yourself, lest you're also tempted in the same way.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
restore. God loves restoration. Jesus died on the cross to restore us to himself, to restore us to heaven, to restore us to God. Chris, you've been speaking prophetically about several worldwide events, and we're offering three of the programs on this video, three prophetic messages for the last days. And we have a video, I think we ran it yesterday, but I want to run it again. So people, then you can order this today and get all three messages on video.
I wanted to share with you all today a dream that I had recently. Honestly, I was hesitant to share it at first. There was some real hesitancy on my part in my spirit. Okay, John was the author of the book of Revelation, and even though he was an apostle, he also was an apostolic prophet because he had the book of Revelation encounter on the island of Patmos, where he has this caught up into heaven experience, has throne room encounters, third heaven encounters, which the Lord basically lays out to him in visionary form. Not just the future, but the whole history of the church age. As I continued to watch him, he looked up at me and smiled. His eyes burned the same blue as the campfire that he was building. The angel said, "He has been hidden in the caves of Turkey and will appear on the scene right before the coming of the Lord to help the church and the world to understand the book of Revelation that he wrote." I then woke up. And in the dream, I saw an unknown man who was dressed in a black suit, and he held a $50 US bill in his hand. And the dream consisted of him tearing the $50 bill in three different stages. And after each stage, I was handed newspapers, national newspapers here in the United States, with various unique headlines. The first one said, after he tore the $50 bill one third off, the headline read this: "The dollar drops 30% in value." And then another person came up to me and handed me another news headline, which said, quote, "Food shortage crisis as wheat and bread imports are at a stalemate."
I believe after the spring, COVID is not going to disappear, but we will begin to finally see this thing start to fizzle down. But here's the other thing, and I want you to pray into this. I saw another worldwide virus breakout. I also saw a rise of women in political leadership in nations around the world. I did. I saw that. I think that you will see a woman emerge in British politics this year who will replace a current politician, and she will be very much like a Margaret Thatcher. I want you to be assured, because no matter what we face with economic struggle, the rise of inflation, God is going to preserve his people and help us through these, and we will come out stronger than before we went into this time of difficulty.
We talked more about this yesterday, but I hope everybody will get this, because there's a whole lot to this message that's
so
not
much
on that piece.
That's
and
right.
I want you to get this. It's a warning of what's coming. You warn about famine. You warn about all these different things. And we must heed the warning of God's prophets. And Chris Reed is a tried and true prophet. I want you to be able to listen to this because I believe it's a word for now. And the Lord gave you a specific word. I think it's on one of the tapes about Poland.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Would you share what the Lord had to say about Poland?
Yeah. So at our New Year's conference this past December 31st, 2021 at Morningstar, I prophesied several things that are on that. Some have started to happen on that DVD set that you're offering, and some that are yet to come. But one of the things that I had shared was the Lord showed me there would be a fraction, or a faction rather, developed between Eastern and Western Europe that you would see really begin to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'd already shared about, I believed, that the Lord had shown me that Russia would invade Ukraine and China would invade Taiwan. But the thing that I got was that there would be smaller nations that are not talked about on the news very much, that when this fracturing of Eastern and Western Europe happens, these smaller nations would emerge. Now, you can't get about any further east in Europe than Moscow. And you can't get, you know, if you think in terms of Western Europe, it's NATO. It's the NATO nations. So NATO has taken a stand against, you know, Russia. But one of the things the Lord said to me, and it's on this, watch Poland. Poland will be one of these leading small nations that we will see that will really set the stage and be instrumental in this fracturing of Europe and a healing balm. And sure enough, since the Russian-Ukrainian war began, long after New Year's Eve this past year, other than Russia and Ukraine, I think Poland has been talked more about, because that's where food is going in, resources, supplies, that's where missionaries, even where the U.S. president went into Poland. And so it's interesting that Poland was one of the first nations that was invaded by a Putin-like dictator, Hitler. Hitler invaded Poland, 80-plus years ago or thereabouts. So I think they understand probably the dynamic in all of this. But also, I felt like that Ukraine was, we would see a picture of the end-time church. Not that Ukraine is perfect, not saying that, you know, Ukraine's totally right and Russia's totally right. I don't want to get, you know, involved in that, and so many are debating about that. But what I do want to say is you see the courage in the Ukrainian people. And, you know, no matter how you even feel about Zelensky, and I don't think he's a perfect man either, but yet he has exhibited a level of courage as a world leader. I would say he's probably done more to unify Western Europe than any U.S. president has in 80 years.
That's true. I agree. Yeah. It seems kind of supernatural. It's wild.
Yeah, he stood up.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I think Poland is like a stone in David's sling to slay the giant. I think Ukraine will ultimately push Russia out. I think you're going to see some real culminations in the first half of the month of June of 2022. And I think this will be unsuccessful. But ultimately, I think Estonia will be another nation that will see Estonia, a stone in David's sling. So the smaller, weaker nation raising up against the bully Goliath spirit. And I think that this is a prototype of the end time church. I know it's not a perfect comparison, but when the beast system, the globalist system, comes against this little flock, as Jesus referred to his church, with cancel culture and all of these different liberal agenda and all of this, I think we're going to see a level of courage raise up. And we're already starting to see it. But I think it's only going to grow, and God's going to help us where we are ultimately victorious.
Amen.
That is what is so needed, and every church needs to understand that. And that the Ukrainian people, they really have been an encouragement, I think, to all of us, that they stand up and fight. and their leaders have, you know, are standing up and fighting. And I believe that there's going to be almost a separation of sheep from the goats in these last days. And we're going to see nations that will stand up. And God's going to stand up for us. But why doesn't the United States stand up for righteousness? Why, you know, just like this thing with the abortion deal. They're marching on the Supreme Court justices' homes. They're marching in the streets, marching on the Supreme Court. It's illegal to march on the Supreme Court and on their homes. But yet we don't enforce it. They're not even reprimanded for doing it. And so we have, it's just like the problem down at the borders. Our laws cover all of that. You're not supposed to enter the United States illegally. But millions have entered illegally, and are really, a lot of evil people have come in, because they're not all evil. I mean, there's a lot of evil, and we don't take a stand. What's going to happen to America if we don't stand? The church has to stand. The political leaders have to stand.
I think that it's been comfortable here for us so long, and a generation has arose that is very complacent, and we've taken freedom for granted. And, you know, instead of freedom from God, we've looked at it as freedom of God, or from God, you know, away from Him. And so many have turned that direction. But, you know, I tell you, this difficulty, persecution, a long time ago the Lord told me, follow the persecution and you'll see the revival. And ultimately, you know, there is going to come difficult times ahead in the United States. But if this is why these DVDs and different things like this, where we want to know and hear the headlines before they're on the newspaper.
That's it.
We, the church, want to have the solutions before the problems come. Yeah. And so if we can be prepared, we don't have to be in fear.
Right.
Preparedness is the antidote for fear. People say, well, don't share that kind of stuff. It scares me. Well, I would rather be told the truth so I can prepare and eliminate fear than to just stay in bliss and ignorance and then be overtaken. And Jesus warned so many times about beware, take heed, this day doesn't overtake you. And he warned about an overtaking phenomenon, end-time surprises. And I'll say this quickly. The Lord had given this to Rick Joyner back in the early 70s after he come to know the Lord. First prophetic word that God ever gave Rick Joyner, and he also gave this to Bob Jones, that at some point there would be the greatest revival in the church history would come out of Russia or the former Soviet Union. And, you know, at that time he would tell people that and they'd be like, oh, that's crazy. You know, that's then when he met Bob Jones, the late prophet Bob Jones, Bob Jones met him, didn't know him, didn't know anything about him. Rick hadn't shared this with very many because he knew it wouldn't be accepted.
Yeah.
Bob Jones said, the Lord showed you. You've seen this about this Russian revival. So I think it could be what's happening there right now is actually setting the stage for the greatest revival in the history of the church age. It won't stay there, but it could start there.
Wow, there's Christians in Russia.
Sure.
And there's wonderful
well,
leaders
you have to remember,
in Russia
though,
that love the Lord.
Now listen, Jim, you have to remember it was that vision was given in the 70s when that was the Soviet Union, but that was all of Ukraine and everything then, back to all that. That's an amazing message from the Lord.
Wow. What do you believe the Antichrist system will be like at the end of the ages? What do you have a thought on that?
Yeah. I have never shared what I'm about to share right now, prophetically. So this is cutting edge. This is never shared, first time released. I think, I'm not saying that in 2030 that that's the year the Lord's coming. I would never say something like that. But I think we're about to enter into, we're in 2022 now. I think we're about to enter a seven-year cycle. I'm not saying it's the final 7 years, but a seven-year cycle where we, over the last 10, 12 years, have saw a political and economic shaking, okay? You know, the election of Donald Trump was a political shaking.
Yes.
We've seen an economic shaking. Now I think we're about to see a religious shaking. I do think we're going to see a leader that's going to represent the globalist system. I can't say he's the beast or the Antichrist, but I will tell you to be prayerful and to keep your eyes on one particular man, especially when you pray. He was just reelected the prime minister of France. And I really think you're going to see in the next few years him really emerge as a representative of the globalist beast system. But I think it will be political. And it's interesting. I think it's not a coincidence his name is Emmanuel.
Right.
The Antichrist, I'm not saying it's him.
No.
But the Antichrist will stand and say he is God. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us.
God with us.
So Emmanuel Macron.
Mm-hmm. Boy, he's done some awful things. Don't be deceived. Because that Antichrist is going to come as an angel of light, really going to come as somebody who's got good ideas and good. And if we just follow politics, we're in trouble. We really are in trouble.
And let me say, as the difficulty continues in Europe, Russia, Ukraine, you know, the faction between Eastern and Western Europe, which the Lord showed me last year and I prophesied it, you know, between Western Europe, NATO, as Eastern Europe as you can go, is Moscow. I think as the trouble unfolds, the economic decline, what you're going to see is France will want another Napoleon, Greece will want another Alexander, and Rome will want another emperor.
My. You need to know your history, people.
Wow.
You don't.
We repeat it, right?
Yep.
In your New Year's Eve message, you need to get all three messages from this tape.
So mm-hmm. powerful.
So you can hear more details. But in New Year's Eve, you shared what the Lord had showed you about Israel. Could you share that with us today?
Yeah, I did. So this axis of evil that I believe, which represents the union of communism and Islam, radical Islam, between Russia, China, and Iran, I saw a couple of things. Number one, I felt like that what I saw was Iran or somewhere from Palestine would attack Israel and that they would respond in kind militarily on one of their feast days. That it would be on one of their feast days. And then another thing that I was shown was that there will be some kind of discovery out of Israel. I think Jerusalem, but I can't say that for sure. Some kind of discovery out of Israel that will shock the world, that will lend credibility to Christianity in the eyes of the skeptics and unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Some kind of discovery,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think it will really surprise the world.
Do you have any idea?
I don't, but I know that that's coming.
In your prophetic message from December for the End Time Church, you received an important illustration of how important apostolic prophets are going to be in the last days. And, you know, our new network, which we started last year, is going strong. It's called going all across America, the voice of the prophets. And we believe that there's got to arise prophets in the last days. And a lot of even Christian television is nervous that I have all the prophets on. I mean, I always have prophets, and I believe in prophecy. I'm shocked that how many denominational churches don't believe in prophecy and the prophets. there's just a few of us out here left. So can you explain that for us?
Yeah. Okay. The Pentecostal denomination I grew up in, you were referred to as brother or sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
We certainly had pastors. We had evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
We had teachers.
Right.
But I don't think anybody in the denomination that I grew up in, and this is probably true of most Pentecostal denominations, nobody called anybody an apostle or a prophet.
It's so true.
Now, I know in the African American church, they do that. I think they have a better understanding on that.
Yeah.
Honestly. But, you know, nobody, it was, you were either brother, sister, mm-hmm. or you were pastor so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, or mm-hmm. teacher so-and-so. But here's why that causes an upside down. It causes the church to be ineffective and insufficient. That we are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. If you keep the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher, well, that's great, but you're only going to go so far if you rip the foundation out.
Yeah.
And for years, there's been, you might say, a hindrance to the apostles and prophets coming together. It's not understanding each other, how our gifts are different, not understanding the different administration of apostolic gifts and office and prophetic gifts and office. But I do think we're going to see a union of the apostles and prophets, the apostolic and the prophetic, and that will be what will help the church to be in a realm of the supernatural that will be needed in the last day ministry.
That's powerful. You know, and it's so
I'm
true.
Sitting here. I grew up in Pentecost. Anybody grew up in Pentecost beside me? I don't remember ever there being a prophet.
Or them saying apostle.
No.
Or a prophet.
Nope. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Mondo? No, you didn't know that because you're new.
No, it's
but
really
that shocks
true.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, you know, God said, I'm not going to do anything that I don't tell it to my prophet. Isn't that right? And so we're going to miss out if we don't listen. And we've got to have prophetic word today. We just have to have it. And I know there's been false prophets, so you got to beware that there's not false prophets. I don't know how you know a real prophet. I always say if their prophecies come true, that's the basis in the scripture.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think somebody can be a true prophet and maybe misinterpret whatever revelation they gave. Like, for instance, a timing thing. Mm-hmm. We all know in part. We
yeah.
see in part. We prophesy in part.
Mm-hmm.
When prophets get in trouble is when they try to prophesy their part as if it is the whole.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And so, according to Jeremiah, if you study the story of Micaiah and Jeremiah, this is interesting. We're bringing this up because in our School of Prophets, I recently taught on this about the counsel of the Lord. And remember, the Lord said to Jeremiah, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Because there were prophets. They were called false prophets. Now, they weren't considered false because they weren't gifted. But they were considered false because they only prophesied what the people wanted to hear, particularly the people of their own nation. For instance, if you remember, those prophets that Jeremiah referred to as false prophets were prophesying that Babylon would not overthrow Judah. Well, we know what happened. The false prophets said, oh, Babylon will never do this. Judah, we're God's chosen people. We're God's nation. We have national promises. And that's all true. That's all true. But the false prophets said they allowed their prophetic filter to be muddied by their own confirmation bias. In other words, because they love their country so much, they couldn't accurately discern the voice of the Lord, so they only prophesied what the people of their nation wanted to hear. But it actually set them up to be overthrown in destruction and led into slavery because Babylon overthrew Judah, led him into 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and that's how we get Daniel and all of that. But Jeremiah stood in the face of the false prophets and said, no, you can prophesy what they want to hear, what that Judah will not be overthrown, that Babylon will not overtake Judah, but that will happen. Well, who wants to prophesy that when you love your own nation? But that prophetic filter, and I'm writing about it right now, and but processing the prophetic is so important, because in that process, you not only have to get the right revelation, but you have to have the right interpretation of the revelation and the right application. So here's the revelation, the interpretation, and the application. Usually, true prophecy or the true prophetic is lost in one of those three steps. Some people get the revelation right, but they don't interpret it correctly. In other words, for instance, look at the book of Revelation. How many different views are there of Revelation? Taking the same chapter, same verse, same prophetic imagery or symbol, and it means 15 different things depending on which end time view you hold to. So you got to get the revelation right. If you get that right, then you got to have the right interpretation of it. That's usually the step that's where it's lost when the word falls to the ground. But if you get the interpretation right, then you got to get the application right. In other words, who do you share it? Do you even share it at all? Does the Lord allow you to share it? Who do you share it to? Who do you not share it to? The timing and all of that. So those three steps are important. And if our own confirmation bias, our own preferences, our own biases muddy our prophetic filter, then that's what defines a false prophet. When you prophesy what you want to believe or your listeners want to hear, and you didn't get it from the Lord.
Mm. That's powerful. That's powerful.
I don't know if you know how deep this is, people, it's but this great. Is, it's very serious.
I have a clip from your message. Let's watch this, and then I'm going to talk about it, okay?
I mean, think about the words of Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul spoke of, remember he said, when he talked about the coming of the Lord, he spoke in the first person, he said, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those which sleep. Now, every generation since that time has put Paul's words there, we which are alive remain, to only speak of those who were alive in their allotted 70 or so years on the earth at the time when Jesus comes. What if Paul really meant what he said? What if he was saying, there'll be those of us who will still be alive and remain who will not taste death till Jesus comes.
Amen.
A.W. Tauzer wrote that too many Bible teachers today seem to be satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is no manifest presence in their ministries or personal life. Meanwhile, they preach to believers with a longing in their heart, which their teaching simply does not satisfy them. Are we seeing that happen again today?
I think so. I think you cannot give anybody anything that you don't already possess. And I really believe that, you know, there is a hunger for a restoration of the authentic.
Yeah.
People are hungry for the real thing. And there's a teaching that I did recently on what it means to wait upon the Lord. It is probably the most important thing that I can honestly say. It is the key that that has postured me, allowed me to get to a place where I consistently hear the voice of God. I think that we must be like Jesus. In John 5, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear him speak. This is why it seemed like those kairos moments, those supernatural moments, were in Jesus' life all the time. And the same is true for the apostles. Let me give you an example. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's outpoured, right? Acts chapter 3, the lame man at the gate is healed. Acts chapter 4, they pray and the house shakes. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira fall over dead because they lie to the Holy Spirit. Every chapter is filled with the supernatural in the early church. So the question is, is the church less powerful today, or is the Holy Spirit less powerful? Of course not. But here's what I think we need to understand. They, just like Jesus, knew where to be, who to be with, who God was working with. Let me give you one more quick example. In John chapter 2, he turns water into wine. Why? Because Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. So he showed up at a wedding where there would be a need for water turning into wine. John 3, he encounters Nicodemus. John 4, the woman at the well. Remember, he tells her she has five husbands. The one you're with is not your husband. And the whole city of Samaria goes in and hears and learns about Jesus. In summary, I'll say this. If we understand those kairos moments, that's when the supernatural realm crosses the time realm. If we only do and speak what we hear the Father speak and say, then we know that God is always working with someone on the earth in our community. He's dealing with someone. He's wanting to heal someone. The key is when we posture ourselves to hear, only do what he does or speak what he speaks, then we know where to be at the right time. So it's just like we're the ones bringing the miracles, but it's just no, we've heard and saw what the Father's doing and who he's doing it with. So we just show up and the miracle happens. We don't initiate it. We just go where God's leading us because that's what God is doing that day. And so we'll have a succession in the chapters of our life of miracles like Jesus, like the book of Acts. It's all about being at the right place with the right people at the right time and knowing where the God activity's at and you just being there. And he can use you naturally.
Amen. Wow.
Excellent.
Do you think the enemy is afraid what God will do through us if we only would allow the Holy Spirit to work in us? Is he fearful of that? Is that why he's trying to put fear into the church?
Absolutely. Yeah, he knows if we understand our identity in Christ, if we understand our purpose, we are powerful. And you know, he comes down in Revelation with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. There's probably people watching today. You feel like you've been hit as a target of hell. You know, just about the time you get your breakthrough or just about the time you're about to step over and feel like, you know, things are going to happen for you, good things are happening, God's blessing your life, God's giving you a new job, your ministry's being blessed. It seems like right at those high moments, that's when the enemy attacks. Samson was anointed, and it was right after he did one of his greatest miracles, that's when Delilah slips in. Elijah calls down fire from heaven, outruns a chariot. Greatest miracles of his ministry, and that's when Jezebel's letter shows up. So it seems like the more you're targeted by the enemy, it's because he knows you're more of a threat.
Yes.
And so this is why if you hear of people falling or struggling, don't kick them. Don't kick a fellow believer if they mess up, if they fall into sin or whatever the case may be. We better recognize, man, the Lord must be doing something great in them. And instead of fighting against them, I want to help restore them and then come alongside and be a part of whoever God is blessing. That's the key to walking in the abundant overflow. Find out where God is moving and who he's working through in that time and partner with it. And I believe this ministry...
Yes.
It's one of those ministries, and I believe Morningstar is too, but I'm probably just biased.
How important is it for the church to be in this season of revival? I know there's people who want God, but I don't see a lot of an outpouring of God openly in America. There's some of us on TV, you know, talking about God. Thank God we're able to stay on TV right now, but I don't know. I don't know how much longer that's going to be because there's a lot of forces that want to stop it, and they're working hard to stop it, and they've done everything they can do to cancel Christian television. Christian television isn't very old. Christian television is probably 50 years old, and I was there in the beginning, and I ought to know, as the song says. But... we need personal revival. I know everybody needs to pray. They need to talk to God. They need to move into God. And I believe it's going to take a revival in all of our hearts. We need forgiveness of all of our sins. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. The saints can remember probably every sin they ever committed, but they don't even remember the good things they've done probably, because the enemy wants to remind you that you're a sinner. But God says, I forgive you of your sins. I'll bury them in the deepest sea, never to remember them against you. That's my thought.
Yeah. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think, is one of the most important scriptures, and it speaks to what you're saying. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and only then, will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land.
Mm.
So national revival is tied to personal revival. National revival is a God thing. Personal revival is a personal thing. So if we humble ourselves and pray, seek our face, find those areas in our lives that are not God-like and turn away from them, if, that's a big if, then it's, then I, God said, will hear from heaven. So if we do our part personally, He'll do His part nationally. And I think that's the key, and that's incumbent upon every believer, every person listening, watching, to fall on their face and say, God, show me, teach me how I can grow in my faith, grow in the Word. I want to be closer to you. Because each and every person that fulfills that 2 Chronicles 7:14 mandate, I don't know how many it's going to take, but I don't know what the number is, but I believe with all my heart when a certain number fulfill that, then God's going to heal the land.
Mondo, the land is sick. The land is, and we've got to have God's anointing on America. Our crops are not doing well this year. Our stores are running out of food. And everything we see in the news is the land is crying out.
One of the biggest is what we have been following is the drought. The LA Times is reporting it's not even summer, and California's two largest reservoirs are at critically low levels. You're talking about the land crying out. The land is drying, and it's historically drying, not just in the West Coast. We're seeing it in all over America. You're seeing one headline reported three major events happening all at the same time. This is what it says, according to NBC News, over half of U.S. in drought as wildfires burn, tornado activity surges. And you prophesy that, and I urge you, if you haven't received or read this book is so prophetic for now. The headlines that are being read today is the headlines you wrote in this book years before the headlines even came out. Something is happening beyond our belief system. Something is happening globally, and it's shaking to the point that is waking the world up.
You know, what? How do we get all of our food? We don't. It's delivered most of it by truck, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Not trains or planes. It's mainly
the trucking
by
industry.
Trucks. Do you realize what it costs to drive a truck for 1 mile? Do you realize that they don't get, you know, 25 miles to the gallon on a truck? They get maybe a mile to a gallon or less. I mean, it's really unbelievable what those huge trucks cost to run. And we just kind of, well, it's going to be okay. I've been studying the electric cars, and I'm telling you, the more I read about them, and I have a magazine about
Consumers Report.
Yeah. It says the good cars and the bad cars, the good cars to buy, and the good electric cars and the bad electric cars. Whatever. And they talk about the electric cars, but most of it, they're talking about it good. But they don't bother to say, where's all the electricity going to come from? What's going to? They're saying in an electric car. I can just see you guys taking a trip across country and waiting 5 hours to get another tank of gas, or tank of air, or electricity.
Electricity.
Understand? We haven't even thought this out, and we're headed for hell. We're headed for America's headed for disaster, terrible disaster. We have oil. We send these bumper stickers out. Pump America oil. I'm not doing that because I'm just some guy who wants to scream about pump oil. I'm doing that because God gave us oil under the land in America, and we need it for our future.
Yes, amen. That's right.
I don't plan to buy a new car for a while, so I'm going to have to use my old car, and I'm going to have to pump oil or gas into that car to keep it going. But what are they going to do? They don't care about us poor folks who still want to use our cars. I've got my main car is a Dodge Durango that's, 20 years old? And raised the kids in it, and it still runs so good. But it won't run on electricity. But we're being fed fairy tale. We're being fed a fairy tale that everything is due to the climate change. No.
Okay.
America's problems are due to the sin of America. And if we don't turn back to God, there's no hope.
That's right.
Thank you, Chris, for this.
Chris,
and I hope you'll get
Chris. You are absolutely
DVDs.
Amazing. Everybody should get the 3-pack. Don't just get the 1, get the 3. And on each one of these DVD sets, you'll receive 3 teachings. New Year's Eve 2021, prophetic message for 2022. Number 2, prophetic dream, the man in black. Number 3, prophetic message for the end time church. And Chris just touched on each of these in these past few broadcasts. But if I was you, I get the 3 set right there. Send one to your friends, to your pastor, whoever God leads you to send it.
Be edified in your own home. Amen.
Yes.
Call us right now. What's our phone number? 1-888-988-1588. Call toll free. God loves you. Thank you, Chris Reed, for being with us today.
Love you. Good morning,
so
Star Our Lives.
God loves you. He really does. He really does.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.